You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Monday, September 17th, 2018. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com, and today we are breaking down a loss for the New York Jets. The Jets fall to the Miami Dolphins week two of the NFL season yesterday by a 20-12 score at MetLife Stadium. We'll discuss what happened, and I think above all, my biggest takeaway from this game is this was an enormous squandered opportunity for the Jets. On paper, that week one Monday night game in Detroit looked like a tough challenge. You know, the Lions were projected to be pretty good. Maybe they still will be. They're off to a very rough start, which obviously the Jets contributed to some extent. But once the Jets got through that with a win, this was set up. This was tailor-made. Everything lined up perfectly for the Jets to potentially get off to a 3-0 start. You follow that Detroit game with a home game against Miami, always a winnable game in the division against the Miami team that's probably not going to be that great. And then a short week, a visit to Cleveland against the Browns team that is improved, but since the start of the 2016 season is 1-32-1. So the Jets had it laid out in front of them. They had an opportunity to get off to a big start this year, and that's important in the NFL. You know, people always ask, would you rather have your easy games early or late? And the answer is early. You always want your easy games early. And the reason for that is that your start is so important in the NFL. If you can get off to a good start, that's part of the reason teams surprise you every year, is that sometimes you just build a little momentum. You build some confidence by getting off to a good start early, and the team starts buying in. The team starts playing over its head. And this is a Jets team with certain talent deficiencies, but they get off to a 3-0 start this year. Maybe this is a surprise 10-win year. You know, maybe things start to line up. And it just really feels to me like a missed opportunity, especially the way the Jets lost this game, because it's one thing when the other team goes out and executes on a high level and beats you. And I think that's something people forget. People always get frustrated when the Jets lose a game. Well, sometimes people forget that, you know, there is another team out there trying to make plays. You know, you think about how many games in the past against the New England Patriots. The Jets play them twice each year. Obviously, the most successful team of the era. There are games where the Jets just really have no shot because the Patriots just go out there and execute at a high level. That was not the case yesterday. The Miami Dolphins were not very good in this game, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Not a dynamic passing game at all. I mean, that passing attack was pretty much based on screens and run pass options. The Dolphins did very little stretching the field with the passing game. Ryan Tannehill, pretty unimpressive stuff. So this was not really about the Dolphins being good. This was just about the Jets squandering opportunities. And the Dolphins gave them plenty of opportunities. The Dolphins kept setting them up. The Dolphins kept making mistakes. The Dolphins practically begged the Jets to take this game, and the Jets were unable to take advantage. And again, it's just frustrating because of the way things lined up for this team. Is after you get through that Detroit game, you are in a position where you could potentially get off to a big start, and from there, who knows what happens. If you get to 3-0 in this league, that's a heck of a spot to be in. Now, it doesn't always work out well. You know, there's still 13 games left, but it's still a great place to be in. And now the Jets might be at an early crossroads of their season. I never want to put too much onto a week three game because it still is relatively early. But how you do early in the NFL season can be really important. You know, if you lose, you know, your first three games in basketball, you still have 79 to play. First three in hockey, after that, you still have 79 to play. In baseball, you still have close to 100. You still have 159 games to play. In football, you only get 16 chances each year. So when you squander an opportunity, it could come back to bite you. And if you get off to a slow start in the NFL, your season can be over before you realize it. And no, the Jets' season would not be over at 1-2, but they would face a pretty steep climb because these are winnable games early in the season, and as we get deeper into the year, the games might get a little tougher. You know, you start 1-2 against a schedule that includes Miami and Cleveland in your first 3 weeks. You could potentially have a problem. So really, in many ways, just a squandered opportunity. And that's what's frustrating is, look, I'm not sure how high my expectations were for this team, but this was a game that I had penciled in as a potential victory. And if you watch this game, this was a game that easily could have been a victory if the Jets had executed better. But the Jets just made just mistake after mistake, whether it's turnovers, whether it's blown assignments, whether it's penalties, whether it's guys not coming up with catches. I mean, there were plenty of chances for the Jets to take control of this game, and they just did not do it. And I think that's where you come away frustrated as a fan. It's one thing if the other team executes at a superior level. The Dolphins were bad in this game. The Dolphins did not show you that that they're going to be a good team this year, and the Jets just would not take advantage of the opportunities. Beyond that, I think we saw that this team has a problem, and it's a problem that many of us expected it to have, and that's on the offensive line. In the trenches, the Jets were just beaten soundly. I think that the hopes that merely replacing Wesley Johnson would fix everything that ailed this offensive line were misplaced, and I think we saw that in this game yesterday. This offensive line needs a facelift. This offensive line needs a makeover. I don't think the Jets have the right pieces on this offensive line. I think the left side of the line has been very weak through two games, and that actually surprises me because I would have thought heading into the season that the left side would be something that would inspire more confidence than the right side, but Kelvin Beachum's off to a rough start. I don't think there's any question about that, and James Carpenter just looks like a liability. Carpenter had a rough year last year, and there were questions about whether he would bounce back, the extent to which he'd be able to bounce back, because his first 2 years in green and white were pretty good. I wasn't sure because, A, I'm not sure how well this system fits him, and B, I mean, Carpenter's a guy who's been up and down during his career. He was a disappointing first-round pick in Seattle. This is not a guy who has a long track record of successful play. It's a guy who's been very up and down during his career, and at this early point in the season, things are not looking great. And you look at what the Jets did on the offensive side of the ball. The offensive line was the biggest problem, I think. I think the offensive line, you look at 12 points, there were plenty of culprits, there were plenty of issues. But the offensive line, I think it all began in the trenches. First of all, the Jets could not run block. This is an offense where the Jets are trying to run the ball on early downs, stay ahead of schedule, not put too much on Sam Darnold's plate, and they failed to do that in yesterday's game. And pass blocking, I mean, Darnold was under constant duress, and we'll get to Darnold a little bit later. I did not think this was a great game for Darnold, but I thought the biggest problem on this team, far and away, was the offensive line. Especially, you know, this team put up 12 points, and you know, it was largely due to their inability to block. And that's a big problem when you think about the way the Jets are built right now. The Jets are going to attempt to run the ball first. They're going to try and establish the run. And when they can't run block, when they can't gain more than 2 yards per carry, it's going to put this team in a tough spot, because then you get behind schedule, then you have to start throwing the football, and when you become one-dimensional in that way, then you have a big issue. My bookie is slammed with bettors and wants to give everybody the best service possible, so if you are willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they will give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and my bookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online, that's MyBookie, and use promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. If you're willing to hold out until 7 p.m., you can get an extra $25 free play by using promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid. We all love a day or night out, seeing the Jets or a favorite band or another one of our favorite teams in person. With Vivid Seats, you can attend the game, concert, or show of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets at all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you to get your favorite live event today. We are here discussing the Jets' 20-12 loss in Week 2 to the Miami Dolphins, a loss that drops them to 1-1 on the 2018 season. And we just talked about the offensive line, but I think the offense as a whole really struggled in this game. And if you're looking for someone to blame, if you're looking for a unit to blame, I think it's pretty clearly much more the offense's fault than the defense's fault. The offense only put up 12 points, and the defense only allowed 20. 20 should be enough to win a game on most weeks, and more than that, defense did not just give up only 20 points. Two of the three touchdown drives from Miami started in Jets territory off turnovers. There was a Sam Darnold interception and a Robbie Anderson fumble. And offense, did not take advantage of its opportunities. To me, the key sequence in the game happened early in the third quarter when the Jets scored to get on the board. They were down 20-0 at halftime. They get a quick touchdown on the first drive of the second half. And then they forced a turnover. I mean, it was kind of an error by Ryan Tannehill. It was a Mark Sanchez-esque play where he just kind of dropped the ball when he was under pressure. The Jets get it back in scoring range. First play after that, they take a shot to the end zone, and Sam Darnold is intercepted on a pass intended for Terrell Pryor. That one was not really Darnold's fault. Pryor ran a bad route. Pryor even took responsibility for it in the post game. But I think that, to me, that was the sequence that summed up the game. Dolphins hand the Jets a golden opportunity, and the Jets do not take advantage of it. And it was just that kind of day for the offense. And look, a lot of it goes back to the offensive line, but I mean, there were also problems. The receiver play was not great again. Anderson had a fumble and was largely invisible aside from that fumble. He's not through two games. He's not taking the steps forward you were hoping he'd take. You know, he still looks like the same guy who really can only do one thing. And even this year, he's not even really doing that. Pryor made a couple big plays. You know, he actually ended the game with over 80 receiving yards, but he had that poor route in the end zone, and then there was a play later on where Darnold threw a deep ball that went through his hand. So, you know, Pryor not looking great. Really the only receiver who looked good, I mean, one of two, really the only two offensive players I thought who looked good in this game were Quincy Enunwa and Bilal Powell. And Enunwa looks like he hasn't missed a beat after missing the entire 2017 season. But yeah, just a really rough day for the offense. And I thought kind of a learning experience for Sam Darnold. Not an outright terrible game, but did not do enough to help the team win the game. I mean, he left some plays on the field. The first interception, I think, was pretty clearly on him. And, you know, we've talked about this heading into the season. Look, that one's a learning experience. That one's a rookie mistake. I think there's a tendency to dismiss any mistake a rookie makes and say, oh, that's a rookie mistake. That's not always the case. Take Chris Herndon not falling out of bounds before the first half, in the 2-minute drill, and which actually ended up costing the team. You know, there was a chance he had a chance to get out of bounds and preserve a timeout. He did not do that. That's not a rookie mistake. Herndon's played in the 2-minute drill before. Herndon played in the 2-minute drill in college. That's not a rookie mistake. That first interception was a rookie mistake. That's a coverage that Darnold hasn't seen before. It's a coverage nobody runs in the Pac-12. If it's what I thought it was, we did not get the all-22 view from CBS. But it looked to me like it was man-to-man coverage that Miami was in. And they had a guy in the middle of the field playing zone. You know, the Dolphins were matched up in man, but there was one guy in the middle of the field playing zone because it's tough to cover a crossing route. So that guy was in the middle of the field. That linebacker was in the middle of the field to help out on the crossing route. Well, what happened on that play, it looked to me like the receiver ran a crossing route there. So the safety who picked the pass off, McDonald. McDonald had a guy who was running a crossing route man to man. He passed it off. He passed the guy running the crossing route off to the linebacker, which freed him up to jump the slant to Enunwa. That's not the type of coverage Sam Darnold saw at USC. So that's a rookie mistake. You know, I think back. I remember my dad always said the best way to learn how to drive a stick shift car is to drive a stick shift car. You just have to learn by doing, and that's kind of the way I view quarterback in the NFL. It's a mistake. Look, it was a costly mistake, but it's the type of mistake you have to learn. You can only learn it one way, and that's by making it. And, you know, you hope Darnold turns the page and learns from that. There were a couple other plays he left on the field. There was the pass to Quincy Enunwa. He was throwing the ball away, spotted Enunwa late and sailed it out of bounds. He may have been trying to throw it away, but Enunwa was wide open. That was also near the end of the first half. And there were some other plays he left on the field. He got away with a few throws. There was one Robbie Anderson knocked down that easily could have been an interception. So, you know, you look at that prior interception. That one wasn't Darnold's fault. Things kind of evened out, though, because he got away with another throw or two that easily could have been an interception. You know, overall, not a great performance. But the stats look good. But, you know, I go back to preseason. Remember when I told you in preseason that even though Darnold's stats weren't good, they were deceptive because he was playing pretty well. I think this game was kind of the opposite, where the stats looked great. It looked like a sterling statistical game. Darnold didn't play that well. I think he'll look back on this as a game where he'll learn some things. This was not a stellar performance. He left a lot of plays on the field in a 20-12 loss. And, you know, Herndon was a guy who, once again, really struggled. Did not get out of bounds. The play near the half, which forced the Jets to use their last timeout. Could not get into the end zone on the last play of the half. First of all, he probably should have gotten into the end zone. Second of all, if he had saved that timeout by falling out of bounds earlier, the Jets would have been able to call a timeout and at least gotten a field goal out of it. And then dropped a pass down the field later in the game. So, rough game for the rookies overall, I thought. And, you know, you look at the defensive side of the ball. The defense played pretty well. It was a rough game, though, for Buster Skrine. Skrine burned for a touchdown, a couple penalties. I mean, he was probably the biggest culprit on the defensive side of the ball. And what was actually a pretty solid game for the defense. I thought the defense played pretty well. They were able to generate a pass rush. They were able to get four sacks in this game. I was happy with the defensive performance. The offense was another story, though. Really not many people came to play and play effectively, aside from Quincy Enunwa and Bilal Powell. But I think that there was a bigger problem with the... And I'll tell you, I don't like criticizing the coaching. I think it's easy to get on play calling. In most situations, a good play, a play that works, people praise the play calling. A play that doesn't work, people criticize the play calling. It's not always that simple. More frequently, it comes down to execution than play calling. But I did not like the Jets' plan, and we'll talk about that. The Jets lost yesterday to the Miami Dolphins 20-12 at MetLife Stadium to fall to 1-1. We're talking about the game. We're breaking it all down. And I want to talk to you about the coaching in yesterday's game. And the coaching is the low-hanging fruit, particularly the game planning, particularly the play calling. Usually I try and stay away from criticizing it because people focus more on results. People, if a play works, it's a great play call. If it doesn't work, it's a poor play call. In reality, the players have more to do with that. It's up to the players to execute. But I really did not like the approach the Jets took in this game. And I'll start on the offensive side of the ball. I did not think this was a good game for Jeremy Bates, and there were some bigger picture things I just did not like. First of all, we talked about this in the preview show. I like the idea of exploiting a potential mismatch the Jets had, their running backs versus the Dolphins linebackers. When they went through it, Bilal Powell against these linebackers, it worked. He had a touchdown pass. He had another long reception. They did not attack that enough, I thought. More than that, though, and this is something that concerns me because I'm not sure it's going to change during the season, Jeremy Bates has to end this love affair with the Jets tight ends. Bates wants to play in base personnel at all times. Even when the Jets are spreading the field, he wants to have one back, one tight end split wide. Even if they're going empty, even if they're going with an empty backfield, he wants a tight end and a back on the field. And there are reasons for that. There are advantages that brings to the table. You're forcing your defense to keep its base package on the field. You may force a linebacker out wide. You may force a safety out wide in a spot they're not familiar with. You force the defense to tip its coverage a little bit. I understand that. But the ability to execute also matters. And the Jets just do not have quality tight ends on this roster. I'm not sure they have one quality tight end. And to keep a tight end on the field at practically all times is just something that's not going to work. You also have to worry about how well you can execute. I mean, you have to worry about how well the guys on the field can execute. And these personnel packages Bates is running, they're just not, you know, they're not maximizing the Jets' opportunity. And listen, I understand there are situations where you're going to have the tight end on the field. I understand the system he wants to run. Part of good coaching is understanding the balance between running your system and understanding whether you have the personnel to run the system the exact way you want to and adjusting if you don't. The Jets don't have the personnel to run the system Bates wants to run. exactly. They can't subscribe to that 100%. So Bates has to adjust to the talent he has a little bit. And part of this, you wonder what the disconnect is, why the Jets, if Bates wanted to have a tight end on the field at all times, why did the front office not do more to address the position in the offseason? All they really did was draft a tight end in the fourth round. You're asking for a fourth round, and Herndon had a bad game, but at the end of the day, a fourth round rookie tight end is usually not going to produce a whole lot for you. So, you know, plenty of questions on that end, and this is something that's going to have to get. I'm not sure it's going to. I think it's something that the Jets need to adjust to. And while we're on the topics of things that the Jets need to adjust to, and this is one, and this phrase more than anything just always drives me nuts because people always use it to explain away any problems the team has. When we talk about halftime adjustments, and again, like, I think that these get overstated. I think whenever the team plays poorly, people complain about adjustments. Well, you don't want to have to make adjustments because you want your plan, you want your original plan to be working. You don't want to have to adjust. If you have to adjust, it means one of your original plan wasn't working. And you have to remember that these teams game plan all week. They study the opponent and they come up with what they think is the best way to beat it. So you can't just go away from it. You can't go away from your game plan at the first sign of trouble. You know, you have to have a little conviction that what you have, what you're trying to do, is eventually going to work. It's what you practiced all week. So if you go to something else, if you adjust to something else, it's a major disruption. That said, at a certain point, you have to understand that what you're doing is not working. You know, you reach a certain point, and I think that point was halftime of this game, when the Jets were down 20-0, and you have to reconsider your philosophy. The Jets this offense is built on running the ball on first down, again, trying to stay ahead of the sticks. You're down 20 points, and you're not able to get anything going on the ground. You have to adjust, and the pass rush is heating up for Miami. You know, Sam Darnold's under constant pressure. You have to adjust. And I thought what the Jets should have done was start going empty, start getting the ball out of Darnold's hands quickly. Let him make some quick. I understand second game. I understand, you know, he may not know the full playbook, but get the ball out of his quickly. Slow down that pass rush a little bit. Use some tempo. You hurry things up a little. Try and do something to change the complexion of the game. Try and get Darnold into a little bit of a rhythm. In this game, when the Jets started spreading the field, it seemed like they were doing it to take shots. And that was not going to work because the Jets were not pass protecting well enough to be able to throw the ball down the field without leaving extra guys in. So that was, you know, if you're going to spread in that, you're going to spread, you're protecting the way the Jets were protecting. You have to have quick hitters. You can't be trying to throw the ball down the field because your five-man offensive line was not holding up on its own. I think what the Jets needed to do, again, spread the field, get it out of his hands quickly, and then you take your shots after you go use a little tempo and you get the pass rush tired a little bit. Maybe that creates extra time and protection. Then you can get a double move going. You can go from there. I did not like what the Jets did because, and I'll tell you, I kept track of this, between the start of the third quarter and the drive that they had with around 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, when they had to go tempo because they were down two scores with 8 minutes left, then they had to. But between that point, start of the third quarter and that drive, they ran the ball on over 50% of their first downs, around 55% of their first downs. And that's just not going to work. It wasn't working. And you look at the overall, I think it's kind of funny that I'm complaining that they were throwing the ball too much from the standpoint. I think it's odd that I'm complaining that they were not throwing the ball enough, because if you look at the overall numbers, the Jets threw the ball a lot more than they ran it in this game. But that was because they struggled so much on first down that they got behind the chains, they got behind schedule, so they were forced to throw the ball, which made their life much more difficult. They were in a position, you know, when you're in second and 10, second and 11, you're in a position where the run's kind of off the table for the next two downs, and it makes it easier to defend. So, you know, in a kind of a roundabout way, them running the ball early forced them to throw the ball because they were not having success. They should have looked to throw it more on earlier down, spread the field, get the ball out of Darnold's hands quickly, and that's one of Darnold's strengths. So I understand that's what you want to do. I understand what your main goal is going into a game. At halftime, you have to understand what you're doing is not working and make a change. And I understand that the Jets are going to try and commit to the run this year. And listen, if the game's 3-0, if it's 6-0, I understand continuing to try and run the ball on first down, even if it's not working, because at that point you're in a kind of a grinded out game. You just need to pop one big run. Maybe you pound the ball on that defense enough, you tire them out, that something opens up. Down 20-0, you need to change the complexion of the game. And in that drive, that drive with around 8 minutes left, they finally had to go tempo because of the time left in the game. I thought Darnold looked like he was starting to get comfortable, like he was starting to get into a rhythm. I thought they should have done that earlier. And then on the defensive side of the ball, and I have to mention this, that play call on 3rd and 19 when the Jets were trying to get the ball back one last time, I, for the life of me, I will never understand why they blitzed there. I called that out before the play. The Miami offense was a pop gun offense. That was a pop gun passing game. Ryan Tannehill showed no ability to read a defense, showed no ability to get the ball down the field. It was all screens. It was run pass options. It was simple plays. And I said before the play, the Jets ought to just sit back and play coverage, force Tannehill to decipher a coverage and make a throw into a tight window for the first time all game on 3rd and 19. Don't blitz. Don't play man-to-man because that's a high-risk defense. You know, somebody could slip. I mean, you don't want to give them a cheap first down. Maybe if they're running a screen, your blitzers run themselves out of the play. If, you know, somebody maybe busts a coverage, I mean, you just don't want to put yourself in the position where Miami could get a first down cheaply. And that's exactly what happened. The Jets busted the coverage. It was an easy first down on dump off, a check down to Frank Gore. Jamal Adams got the blame. Rich Gannon blamed Jamal Adams. I watched that play over. I don't think it was Jamal Adams' fault. And in the post-game press conference, you kind of got that impression as well because Adams was asked about it. And he kind of said there was a defensive breakdown, and then he got pressed on it, and he kind of said, "Oh well, it's my fault." You know, it was kind of one of those things where his first answer, when he was thinking it over, he didn't want to throw whoever it was under the bus, and then like the wheel started turning, he said, "All right, I'll just take the blame. I'll take the hit, even though it wasn't my fault." I mean, I look at the way that played. Somebody else blew the cover. I'm pretty sure somebody else blew the coverage on that. But the bigger issue, I think, was the play call because. In that situation, Miami's on the 45-yard line. Even if they get like an 8-yard gain there, it's a win for the Jets. They're not going to try a long field goal and potentially give the Jets the ball in good field position, only needing a touchdown and a 2-point conversion to tie the game. They're probably going to punt. So even if they get like 8 yards there, it's different if they're on the 30 and they're in field goal range and you need to make something happen. You know, you need to get a sack to knock them out of field goal range or force a turnover. Then I understand the blitz. But 3rd and 19, when they're not in field goal range, when even an 8-yard gain probably means they're punting the ball, that's a time to play conservative. It's a time to force Tannehill to make a read for the first time all game. It's not a time to play a high-risk defense, which raises the odds substantially that Miami can pick up a cheap first down, which is exactly what happened. Just I hated that play. I called it out before the play. I said don't blitz. And what did they do? They blitz and they bust the coverage, and it gives Miami an easy first down. So that's all I have on this ugly performance by the Jets, a 20 to 12 loss that drops them to 1-1. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you like the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, and please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Hope you have a great Monday. We'll be back again tomorrow.